Hey, this is Chad Sakach. You're listening to the face-meltingly awesome Virtually Speaking podcast.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 19. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me as always is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
Hold on a sec, Pete. Hold on a sec.
What are you doing?
I've got to catch it, Pete. I've almost got it.
Oh my God. Tell me you're not one of those Pokemon Go boys.
You know, that sounds really offensive the way you put that, Pete. And for everyone who likes a game of Pokemon Go, I would like to say, please direct your hate mail to podcast@vmware.com. Attention, Pete.
Oh my goodness. We go away for 1 week, man. We go to Palo Alto and the whole world goes crazy over Pokemon Go. What the heck?
Yeah, I love the video of the stampede in Central Park. That was intense.
Oh my goodness. I know. I just saw that a couple of minutes ago. Apparently, how many people would you say were in Central Park?
In that shot of the video, probably 200. Although the people like stopping their cars in the middle of the street and just getting out and abandoning their car to go running, like that was...
Yeah, here's a quick clip.
Look at this. There's a Vaporeon that spawned right there, so everyone's running.
I am so proud to say I don't know what a Vaporeon is.
I would correct you on that pronunciation, but that doesn't help my case.
Yeah. Good point. Well, this week's episode is not about Pokemon Go, but we would be remiss not to at least mention some of the craziness that's been happening this week. Over 65 million subscribers to Pokemon Go, which is even more than Twitter. Let's see. A man's already crashed his car in New York into a tree and has admitted that it was because he was playing Pokemon Go. Thursday, two men in San Diego fell off a cliff after they climbed over a fence in an attempt to catch an animated character. What is going on? All right, John, so before we talk about EMC Unity, I want to see just how dedicated you are to Pokemon Go. So do you think you'd be able to name a few of the characters if I asked you? Do you know some of the characters, or is that a possibility?
I would say my knowledge is not that great. I would say I played the original game like back in middle school or something, but I did not watch the TV show or the movies or any of that. So we can give it a shot.
All right. I will give you 30 seconds to identify, without using your computer, as many Pokemon Go characters you can. And if you can get at least 10, I will buy you a Starbucks gift card. Go.
Dugtrio, Pikachu, Bulbasaur, Charmander, Charizard, Charmander...
That's eight.
Gastly.
Nine.
Pidgeotto.
Ten.
Spearow. There we go.
11. Come on.
I don't have the game open right now.
So you're stopping at
Vaporeon. Vaporeon. That was the correct.
That one didn't make the bell. Sorry, man. You got 11, man. That's pretty impressive. I'm going to buy a Starbucks gift card next time I see you. Well done. Well, one thing that's even cooler than Pokemon Go is the fact that VMworld's coming up. And that I'm interested in. So we've got a few sessions to talk about. We're going to leave links to all the sessions that all of the guys in our group, the technical marketing group, have registered for VMworld. But there's quite a few of them, at least from John and I. So John, why don't you tell us, what sessions are you in?
So I've got five. Let me start out in reverse order here. Virtual SAN for VMware Service Providers, STO9079 in the catalog. That's going to be talking about use cases with virtual SAN for service providers. We've got hundreds of service providers deploying vSAN, and the adoption is going crazy right now.
Yeah.
We're going to highlight one particular service provider, why they chose virtual SAN, and in terms of doing a deployment for a very large Fortune 500 e-commerce system. We've got virtual SAN networking deep dive and best practices. I always joke that I'm not a networking guy except on Mondays. And fortunately, today is Monday. But we'll talk about layer two, and then also some of the wild, stretch clustering considerations, layer three multicast. If you don't know what PEM sparse is and don't want to know, you don't have to. But if you want to also talk about link balancing, LACP, those kind of things, we'll have a lot of great content there. Snapshots Suck, doing jointly with Pete. vSAN and vVols fix all of your operational nightmares. Woo-hoo. STO 8159. Pete, you want to talk about what we want to accomplish in that session?
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be a fun one. We're going to basically, I don't even know how they accepted the title for that one, but we're going to go with it. But the concept here is that not all snapshots suck, but there was a time when snapshots were not as performant, especially when we're talking about VMFS snapshots with redo logs. And a lot has changed both in vSAN and virtual volumes differently. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to walk through what's going on with virtual volumes, what's going on with virtual SAN as it pertains to snapshots. And I think it's going to be a really, really fun conversation.
I've also got a day in the life of a vSAN IO, STO 7875, with our good friend Duncan Epping.
Nice.
You may have heard of. We're going to be talking about basically what's going on under the hood in terms of how IO flows, how data, you know, synchronizes and things like that, and what some of the features, things like deduplicate compression, what that means for in terms of IO processing, kind of the back end. So if you want kind of at a high level, I guess, grasp a better concept of what different, you know, failure to tolerate or RAID settings on vSAN mean, as well as if you want to kind of get some under the hood information, deep geeky tech deep dive, that should be in there also.
Yeah.
And then I've got my fifth session, which this is partners only, the rise of flash, space efficiencies in virtual SAN 6.2. That's going to be a really geeky technical expo about the new space efficiency features. So, and that'll be on PEX Day.
Awesome. Yeah, so I've got, I didn't sign up for six sessions, but as it turns out, I now have six sessions. I'm co-presenting on some of them from some partners. And so I'll leave all the links to all of these. But the first one that I'm really excited about is session ID 7645. It's Virtual Volumes Technical Deep Dive. Patrick Dirks and I, who is the dev manager for the vVol team here, we're going to walk through at a deeper level sort of what's going on with virtual volumes, what the architecture looks like, some of the workflows. We're also going to even give a bit of as much of a sneak peek as we can legally get away with, you know, before the next release of our software. So we're going to definitely allude to some roadmap issues there. Also, I'm doing a virtual volumes in a NetApp environment, session ID 8144. We're going to talk about virtual volumes and how it looks like both on data ONTAP, but also within NetApp SolidFire. Of course, we've got session ID 8159 with you. Snapshot sucks. We talked about that. I'm also doing one with EMC. It's called Virtual Volumes. Why? This one's going to be more of a sort of not how you do it, but why you might want to do that. So it's definitely more of a use cases and what why people should consider going into virtual volumes. So that one sounds fun. Another really cool one is session ID 8619. This is a panel. This is where we're bringing in various partners to come in and talk about the topic of the transition to virtual volumes. So we're going to have some customer stories, we're going to have some use cases, and we're going to get different opinions from the different storage vendors. So that one's always fun. I'm looking forward to that. And last not least, I am doing a session with HDS, session ID 8840, called Deploy Scalable Private Cloud with vSphere Virtual Volumes. And that is going to be a breakout session looking at virtual volumes in HDS environments. So very cool stuff. I'm looking forward to all of those. And hopefully I'll be able to have a voice by the end of VMworld.
Nice.
All right, so this week is a little different. John and I were both in Palo Alto, and we had a chance to sit down in a room with Daniel Chu, who is the technical marketing guy for virtual volumes on EMC Unity. Great conversation. I will say I'm a bit of an audio snob, so I listened back to the playback, and you can kind of tell that we were in a small conference room, so that kind of bugged me a little bit. But hopefully you can put up with that and enjoy the conversation that we did have. We had a really cool conversation around what EMC Unity is and all the different use cases, and I don't know. I'm pretty excited. I like EMC Unity. What do you think, John?
It is amazing, just in terms of simplicity of deployment and having a, you know, in my case, I'm using my lab, being able to have a great little NAS environment that's really easy to manage, and as well as something you can present some vVols back. It just seems like a great little Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so with that, here's EMC Unity with Daniel Chu.
With us today from EMC is Technical Marketing Manager Daniel Chu. Daniel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
All right, so today we're going to talk about EMC Unity, which is one of your areas of expertise. So how long have you been with EMC? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, I've been with EMC for over 11 years now. First I was in QA engineering, then moved on to corporate systems engineering, and now I've been in technical marketing for the past 4 years or so now.
Okay, and so in technical marketing for a couple of years now, focusing, were you on the VNX team before you went on to Unity?
Yep, and the mid-range business unit, so that would be VNX and now Unity.
Nice, nice. Well, I'm an old NetApp guy, so I have a lot of questions about the portfolio here. So I've been playing with Unity since EMC World. So let's start with the fact that we all know EMC is a portfolio company. And so where exactly does Unity fit within that EMC portfolio?
Yes, EMC is a portfolio company. And so where the mid-range and VNX, or even now Unity, it fits is really is kind of a jack-of-all-trades storage array, in which you can fit a lot of file data, whether it is traditional file shares, whether you want to present VMware data stores over NFS, or you can even do transactional databases on via fiber channels as well. So there's a lot of different use cases that the mid-range storage platform, now Unity, really fits into, and that's really where it plays in within the EMC portfolio.
So, I mean, not to bring up the protocol wars, really we should have like an exciting sound when we say protocol wars, but I mean, with NFS, iSCSI, Fibre Channel, this raises the question of, you know, which is superior? Or, you know, now with vVols, does this even matter anymore, Pete?
Well, I don't think it matters, but I'll let Daniel answer it.
Well, everybody loves to have that answer, it depends. And it really does depend on the customer environment, whether they have invested a lot in SAN, or whether they're kind of greenfield in which they want to invest more on the NAS protocol to be able to present storage.
Oh, good answer. Good answer. I think you might be ready to run for political candidacy here. So,
all right. So a few months ago, we had Chad Sakic on at EMC World, and he shared with us a blog post that he had recently posted. And John, you remember that picture? There was a picture of these guys that were, you know, in some other part of the world changing tires on this car while it was moving. They were driving on two wheels. And he used that to sort of define what Unity has become now since VNX came out, and then there was VNX2. And then so having this huge customer install base and having to redesign an operating system while you're still supporting a customer install base is pretty difficult. So my question to you is Unity basically VNX3?
So I'm not going to have the same enthusiasm level as Chad will, but I'll give it a crack at that. In terms of it being a VNX3, it's not. It's definitely re-engineered. It's really a different platform that can provide you the same type of services at a very converged type of offering. Where you had the VNX platform, if you take a look at like a VNX 5800, for you to get NAS and SAN services, you actually needed a minimum form factor of 7 rack units. So you'd need 3 rack units for the disk array enclosure, you need another 3 for the storage processor, then you need another 2 for the data mover or the file heads. Now with Unity, with the re-engineering, and also the converged platform, now you can get all that, the storage plus NAS and SAN services, all into you. So that's still a dual architecture, but a much smaller form factor that helps out in terms of the amount of cabling that you have to do, and also the amount of power that is needed to actually power the system, not that you have less hardware.
I love the comments on cables, because it reminds me of the early days of converged storage, which really was, let's call it what it was. It was taking a unified bezel, unified storage was a unified bezel across a NAS and a SAN, and you would have lots of block connections. But now you're flattening all that into a single box. So we no longer have cable-defined storage. All those connections are internal. There's no extra bottlenecks. The install base is now, you know, before you'd have to have professional installers come out and install that. It seems like this is going to be radically simpler, you know, 15 minutes versus hours or killing an entire day racking, cabling, big, heavy boxes.
Yeah, so it's going down from when the slides had it at 30 cables down to 6 cables. That's a dramatic reduction in the amount of cabling, and it really, really cuts down the amount of user error that might be involved when you're doing installation. I think it was last year we had one of our interns that was in the lab test out how fast can you actually rack and stack a Unity system. Typically, it was 60 minutes. It had it down to actually a few minutes. Of course, we had it in one of our slides that he did in 2 minutes. He actually did in 2 minutes, but with a whole lot of practice. So either way, it's a dramatic improvement because you could really cut it down significantly, probably not for down to 2 minutes for most people, but definitely a lot less time than what you have seen with the VNX.
I think we should get this intern and put him on stage at, you know, at EMC World next year, or maybe even, you know, we've got some summer interns, have intern races, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Department of Education and Labor totally going to investigate us after this. But
rack and stack wars. I love it.
Rack and stack, yeah. So as someone who's worked with EMC for a long time, you may remember the early dark ages of, you know, using tools like Navisphere, which some I think likened, and this wasn't just EMC, this was every array at that time. It was like managing by spreadsheet, really, in a lot of ways. And then came out Unisphere, but, you know, and Unisphere was an improvement, but it had, you know, Java. Can you talk about some of the improvements on the management side that have happened here?
Yeah, sure. So I'll go back even further than that. So I was actually in the Solera organization, so I actually had to deal with a Solera manager. But back in my QA engineering days, I actually strictly relied on CLI because that's really where any of the functionality you will get it through CLI and faster response time. Then from there, you go either I've experienced Navisphere, Unisphere, and now this is the next-gen Unisphere. It's HTML5-based, no more Java, a lot quicker in response time, sleeker, and just a better user experience overall. In a lot of ways, a lot of things has been laid out in such a way where you actually can do certain operations, a lot of the common operations, and a lot less clicks, so it's going to be faster to do these operations. Wizard-based as well, so a lot of things that we typically do in terms of provisioning storage. You provision storage, you're usually building up pools, create file systems or LUNs, and you want to provide access to hosts or provide through exports or SMB shares, and you want to set up certain data surfaces. All these things, previously, you would actually have to go to different parts of Unisphere to get that set up. Now you can just do this in one single wizard that'll take you through all those necessary steps that you would typically do when you want to provision storage to someone that's requesting storage. So all this stuff is much faster, easier to understand as well.
Yeah, and I'll say that HTML5 is pretty sexy. I mean, I haven't used the physical Unity array, but I did download the VSA, which was super simple to use, and I got it set up pretty quickly, and it was very sleek. Yeah. So have you used the VSA?
Yeah, I've got it in my lab. I needed a NAS actually, you know, for my vSAN, and I was like, let's grab the VSA, and I put it on, and I was like, wow, this is really easy. And one of my complaints previously with a lot of wizards and various storage systems is they're very one use case. It's pretty, I always found myself to be the power user who wouldn't work with the wizards, but they seem very both, you know, flexible, but at the same time not fragile, if that makes sense. They weren't highly dependent on specific things. And beyond obviously NAS use cases on vSAN, I wanted to test vVols out. And so I actually looped it back to my cluster. Now, the next step is I need to storage vMotion onto itself, which will probably break space and time. But I think it was probably, once I had it downloaded, it was probably an hour to get it loaded, configured, tweaked. And that's me mostly, you know, sitting there staring at how beautiful the HTML5 was. So yeah. I wasn't moving with any, this was not intern races, but, you know, an hour to get something loaded, installed, have, you know, playing with NAS shares, playing with vVols, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, one of the product managers came up to me and said, Pete, can you help me with this VSA, this Unity VSA? I must have done something wrong. I don't know. So I went over there. He did nothing wrong. He just didn't understand that he got it up so quickly and that it was working. He's like, I must be missing something. Is there something missing? I'm like, no, it's working. You're good, man. So what about Unity is new? Are there any new features specific to Unity that were not in VNX2?
So one of the major things is the 64-bit file system. So a lot of people have complained over the years about VNX or even Solera about the 16-bit file system and lacking scalability.
Yeah.
Now we have finally introduced a 64-bit file system. Scales up to 64 terabytes at this point. You know, we're using point-based snapshots, ability for you to shrink the file system in case as you grow the file system and you delete certain things, you have the ability to reclaim space if you want to be a little bit more efficient with how you use the storage. Another thing is VMDK implementation. So making it easier for you to snap a lot of different VMs within the same file system. So you can actually snap up to 256 clones off of a single VM in a file system. So
wow.
Makes it very efficient. Other things that you probably come to expect from a file system from VNX, quotas, and also multi-protocol support, whether it's SMB and NFS, all those things are still there. Just a little bit more data services within the file system, the new file system, and also better scalability.
Well, and from a positioning standpoint, there are a lot of times where previously a VNX, it could handle that scale, but the file system, that 16 terabyte cap, I'd see a lot of shops end up going to an Isilon or something bigger because of that. But this is really exciting, seeing that this really can cover all the mid-range use cases from a file basis. And one thing I haven't seen a whole lot of attention, but it's really interesting, y'all are leveraging containers for file services. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So if you are familiar with the VNX or even the Solera back in the days, really the file services basically came out of physical data movers or in NetApp terminology, filers.
There you go.
So you would those file services will be provided by those physical data movers. So on a Unity platform, as you may notice, or you may notice later on after this, that 2U platform is basically providing both the SAN and NAS services. There are no more physical data movers. How you would actually want to create a file server is basically you create what we call a NAS server. The concept is basically you have a virtualized file server in which you create off of the Unity operating system, and you'll be able to present storage or mount the file systems on top of these NAS servers. What this actually does, it really also containerizes the file environment in which you can actually, you know, if you need to fail it over or you need to move it for to different areas for efficiency or whatnot, or for disaster recovery, you have the ability to do that and be able to move that entire file environment. Versus with a physical data mover, now you can have this at a, I guess, more of a virtualized concept.
So since obviously you can create a container in, you know, milliseconds, your failover is going to be infinitely faster than, say, the old days of using like the CX4 virtualization, like the old VNXEs, where you basically had to wait for that virtual data mover basically to reboot. You know, you could have a 1 or 2 minute failover. Now you're down to seconds, and you can get that instantaneous type response or experience on that failover.
So I'm not an EMC guy. Is that true that the failovers took a minute and a half about before?
That was on the, if you worked with the old VNXE, like the first generation, that was the thing. Not obviously the physical, because they had direct connections and log stepping, but that was an old active passive constraint on the first generation. And again, this is the interesting thing, is how many generations, you know, you've got, you know, from the original VNX, and you have the VNXE, which did its own, you know, pair of virtualization. Then you have VNX2 that significantly improved that. And then you got the VNX non-E2. And then you had Rockies, where they removed Flare. It's interesting. It's kind of like, again, going back to that truck analogy, they chipped away at all of these different kind of legacy components. And now you've got this nice, beautiful 64-bit file system, you know, containerized, you know, I think I've heard that it's basically all new code effectively over the past 7 or 8 years.
Yes, a lot of new changes that have been added to the software stack, and also the reengineering for Unity as well. But we have made a significant enhancements in terms of the failover. It started even in the VNX2 days, and also now the failover is even better. And part of it is what I would want to focus on is also highlight, at least, is that we also have changed the way that we do logging for file systems, where you had a centralized log. Now you actually have individual file system level logs. So that also helps out in terms of the failover times.
So that log replay, when that fails over, it's no longer having to fail one giant log. It's got multiple in parallel. You've got parallel processing. So nice.
That makes sense to me. So yeah, the thing that interested me with Unity was obviously virtual volumes, EMC. There was a big splash. The keynote talked a lot about virtual volumes. Our booth was blowing up with conversations around Unity and virtual volumes. You were at EMC World as well, talking to a bunch of folks about virtual volumes. So what exactly does Unity bring to the virtual volumes for VMware?
Yes, so this is the first mid-range platform from EMC that's going to support virtual volumes. So that's going to be huge in terms of moving over to this paradigm where we really going to rely on the vVol technology. So to talk a little bit about the Unity implementation of vVols, first off, looking at Unisphere itself, we have a lot of integration with VMware in the first place. In terms of you have the ability to actually be able to discover all the VMs that is presented from a Unity storage. What you can do on Unity is actually point to the vCenter server. Then from there, you can actually point to the ESXi servers that is connected to Unity and be able to discover all the LUNs or file system that has been presented to the ESXi server for VMs, and it'll also discover all the VMs underneath. So on top of that, with vVol implementation, we also have the ability to actually create these storage containers that be able to point to or enable certain data services that are pertinent to the, or specific to these storage containers, and present that to the ESXi server, so that way they can also create the vVol data stores out of it. We also have an enhancement or improvement in our VSI plugin. So not a lot of people know about our virtual storage integrator plugin, and that is basically a plugin into the vCenter server to allow virtualization administrators on vCenter to be able to provision storage off of EMC storage. And that's not just for Unity, but we have it for, you know, like vMAX, Extreme.io, or even VNX. So the ability for a virtualization administrator to be able to provision storage off of EMC Unity without needing to go on to Unisphere, that's pretty powerful and very convenient. So we've added an enhancement in June to be able to also create these storage containers from the vCenter and be able to present all that and actually have those storage containers presented to the ESXi server. And within that same wizard, it'll also create the data stores as well. So it really cuts down the amount of time that you would need to be able to create this infrastructure for vVols.
So if I got that correctly, we've built this beautiful new HTML5 interface, and then with this plugin and with vVols, we're creating tools so you don't even have to log into the beautiful interface. I love it.
Yeah, pretty much. But the interface is gorgeous. I mean, when you go in there, it says SAN, NAS, and then VMware. When you click on that, it's all the virtual volume stuff. Creating the storage container, you can see your protocol endpoints, you can see all your virtual volumes. And then, just like you said, where it does the unmap for you. So like when you're provisioning virtual volumes, you can go into vSphere, see them there. The minute you delete them, they're automatically deleted from the storage. It reclaims that space right away. So it's just really, really clean. Excellent job.
Yeah, you can tell there's a lot of attention paid to UI and UX, because previously in a lot of arrays, it's always targets over here, LUNs over there, raid groups and pulls over there, and you got to wander across the entire interface to set something up or get something done. And it looks like they've really spent some time with some very smart people to understand storage provisioning workflows.
That's part of the integration. You also can see all the vVols that are created as well, so very helpful. And to your point that, like, oh, now that we have a VSI plugin, well, you don't even need to use Unisphere anymore. That is the case. Traditionally in the mid-range platform, we have targeted people that are in the enterprise market and also in the commercial space. Some are IT generalists that might be more familiar and comfortable to log onto Unisphere, or they might be more comfortable with vCenter, but we're just really providing the option for people that are not as savvy on Unisphere to be able to do that on something convenient to them, which may oftentimes be the vCenter.
So what about the VSA? So if somebody wants to try Unity, they download the VSA. Is there like a trial time? Are there any limitations on the VSA?
No, so we actually have a VSA that is really free of charge, and it's a community edition. You just download it, and we actually have a bunch of information to really kind of show you how you install it. And you install the VSA yourself, you know how easy it is. I often really say that, like, if you really want to try out the user experience or get an understanding of what the user experience is with Unity, just download and install the VSA and really check out Unisphere for yourself.
Well, what really impressed me with the community edition is you can actually just go, you know, I can go use it. There's no production, non-production restrictions. Obviously, enterprise environment, you're going to get a support agreement, you know, go for the full production. I think there's some capacity limits, but otherwise, it goes beyond EMC's typical free and frictionless, you know, try anything for non-production use unlimited, but you can actually just go put it out there and give it a go.
So with Unity having all this buzz and you guys getting tons of customers on Unity, does that mean that VNX is now end of life?
You know, that's a very loaded question, but but no, we are still selling VNX, and for the people that have seen a Unity overview, you obviously can tell that Unity product line does not completely overlap with the VNX line. Where its position is basically the VNX 5800 all the way down to the VNX E3200. So there is no direct replacement for the 7600 or the 8000. And as of today, we're still selling VNX, and that's pretty much the plan up till the end of this year, and we have not received anything. We haven't been told differently so far.
Fair enough.
The short term is known and the future is cloudy as always.
So I'm looking at a diagram here that has all the new features within Unity. You've got HTML5, REST API, snaps, replication, QoS, the new 64-bit file system, obviously native vVols with metadata paging. But then they have this thing about connecting to Cloud IQ. Can you tell me a little bit about what Cloud IQ is and how that pertains to Unity?
Sure. Cloud IQ is basically, to a customer, it's really an opportunity to get actionable results or recommendations of what they can do to be able to, you know, maintain the level of service that they get out of the Unity box. The Unity system already collects a lot of information through logs and whatnot to be able to really maintain the health and report the health of the system. So all this information is just really going to be fed over to EMC portal, in which this information will be analyzed, and those results will be provided at a EMC portal where the customers can log on to really get information about how the health of the system is, how it's trending, the capacity usage, performance, and all those different things, and what is needed to be able to maintain good health or be able to have enough storage going forward based on how you're using it so far, or be able to maintain the performance. And it'll provide recommendations of what you need to do, whether that is resolve a certain thing that is popping up from a health perspective, buy more storage, what type of drive media you need to buy in order to maintain the performance and capacity that you've been using so far.
What I think is really cool in this diagram, and we talked about earlier, is that ESRS service that's connecting to Cloud IQ is actually running on Docker. And so that's neat that EMC can basically reuse code across platforms or potentially, you know, rapidly provision additional, who knows, on the roadmap future services by just dropping containers inside the box.
So people really are using containers. That's good to know.
You heard it here first, sir. You know, there is a production use of containers in an enterprise platform. I love it.
Love it.
Well, that seems like a pretty good introduction to EMC Unity for me. Daniel, if somebody wants to find out more about EMC Unity, where can they go?
Yeah, sure. You can definitely go on emc.com. It actually has a bunch of white papers that talks about not just the overview, but all the product functionality, the virtualization integration, the replication, snapshots, and all that. It also got some how-to videos, some spec sheets, if you want to understand a little bit more about the specifications of all the different models. So definitely a great place to get a lot of the different information about the platform.
Awesome. And you'll be at VMworld?
Yep. I'll be at the VMworld, so you can come check, see me at the booth. And if you have any more questions, let me know. And anyone that wants to understand a little bit more, feel free to come by and ask me some questions.
Very cool. I'm also pretty sure that the Hands-On Labs this year also has EMC Unity. So if you want to check it out, you want to put your hands on it, you can either do that at the EMC booth or go to the Hands-On Labs.
Yeah, there is a VLab. There's one on the virtualization integration. So yeah, feel free to go to the Hands-On Lab and check that out too.
Very cool. All right. Well, Daniel, thank you for taking time to talk to us on the podcast, and we look forward to having you back soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, there it is. EMC Unity, not your father's VNX. That was a good one, John. What do you think?
That was amazing. Face-meltingly awesome, maybe?
Face-meltingly awesome. I like it, yeah. Very clean, like you said. HTML5 is super fast, really simple to use. Love the fact that they've got the whole interface for everything you need to do for virtual volumes right in the interface. Very simple, and yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, especially for me not being an EMC guy. For my first introduction to either VNX or EMC Unity, I am very impressed, so looking forward to more from those guys. All right, well, before we go then, one quick message out to the listeners. If you listen to the podcast and you're a partner, customer, or even a VMware employee, anybody that listens and is interested, if you either have a topic that you think we should talk about, or if you want to come on as well and join the conversation with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you on the show and talk to you and get your opinions. And with that, John, you have anything else before we take off?
Remember to subscribe so the podcast is always waiting for you on your phone, mobile device, or appropriate podcast player.
Absolutely. SoundCloud and iTunes. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud or iTunes by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this in all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. Next week, we're bringing in Rawlinson Rivera and the guys from Cohesity to talk about a vSAN and Cohesity paper. And so until then, bye for now.
Pete is right.
Hey, John.
Pete is right.
Pete is always right.
Pete is right.
Pete, you know, I'm not sure if I agree with Tatiana.
I'm not even sure I believe it.
I don't know. She's pretty smart. You know what else she says?
Storage is cool.
Okay, that's true.
Lungs suck.
Oh, yeah.